And that's it for Counterspin for this week. Counterspin is produced by FAIR, the National Media Watch Group based in New York. If you missed part of today's show or you'd like to hear previous shows, you can find them on our website. It's FAIR.org. The show is engineered by Alex Noyes. I'm Janine Jackson. Thanks for listening to Counterspin.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to host Chris Hedges, Friday, May 26th at 7 p.m. at the Aladdin Theater in Portland. Hedges takes a provocative look at the current state of revolt in the United States and will recount the U.S.'s continuing history of domestic terrorism while outlining ways for communities to resist before it's too late. Again, that's Chris Hedges, Friday, May 26th at 7 p.m. at the Aladdin Theater, 3017 Southeast Milwaukee Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 6 o'clock. We're in the middle of our spring membership drive, and here to tell us more about how you can become a member is Janka. Janka, how can we join today?
Yes, hi. You're listening to KBOO's News and Public Affairs Day. This is a time when we are putting together a whole day of specials, and we ask you for your support for that and for this station, this incredible supporter of locally produced content, locally produced news and public affairs. This is done every few months. We ask for your support, and every time y'all come through and you say, yes, I do support this station, we're going to keep it going for another 49 years. We have to offer for you a $75 pledge, and that can be done as a monthly deduction of $6.25, so that could be split into monthly installments. A book, Narrow River, Wide Sky by Jenny Forrester. You may have heard her the other day on the radio talking about her life growing up in a single wide trailer on the Colorado Plateau, proudly displaying the American flag and talking about the small town experience and navigating that world and in the midst of America's political landscape. It's a great book, a great gift for someone that you love. Maybe share this around and get yourself this thank you. You can get that for a $6.25 a month commitment to KBOO. Really not too much to ask. Maybe you're already giving $5 a month. Increase that, you know? Increase it to $11.25. Do it right now. 877-500-5266. I'm Jenka.
And I'm Natalie. Hello. So, we're just stressing the importance of community, and it'd be a great way to just kind of get involved in your local neighborhood-friendly community radio station.
You can come down, too, and check us out. We're at 20 Southeast 8th, and you can see what we're all about. You can meet me and Natalie and the hosts of Bread and Roses, our feminist radio show. This is one of the longest-running shows on KBOO that you're about to hear. This is a wonderful show. It has so much strength, so much resilience, and brings out these voices that are really silenced in much of the media. You hear from the members of the trans community. You hear of the stories of people, of women who have been abused. You hear stories from women who have been sex workers and are telling their stories, and really those voices that are marginalized and belittled and criminalized in the major media are the ones that are brought out here and humanized, and you can hear the stories of real people telling their stories for themselves. We don't put words in anyone's mouth, and this is the power of community radio. I know that you are hearing the noise in the background. That is volunteers that are taking the pledges of members, and you could be our next member and be a part of this incredible scene. Come on down and see us. 20 Southeast 8th, call the number 877-500-5266 or go online kboo.fm. Very, very easy to do. 877-500-KBOO is what we want you to do. If you can, call the number 877-500-KBOO. We'll be right back.
preaching at the dawn of the day. All the darkened kitchens, the mill of gray, all touched by the radiance that the sun discloses. Oh, hear the people singing bread and roses.
Good evening. Welcome to Bread and Roses, feminist news and public affairs on the KBOO airwaves since 1978, the longest-running feminist radio broadcast program in the country. Bread and Roses is a collective of women and non-binary radio activists who give voice to those in global and local spaces, working for social justice and equity, and we strive to challenge systems of oppression. All this, and we have fun. We want our bread and roses too. Get it? I'm your host tonight, Pamela Santos, and our engineer is Jenna Yokoyama. We've got a great show, as always, but it's going to be a little bit different. There's this little thing called being flexible, and I'm on several different shows here on KBOO. I had the pleasure of interviewing a guest of the show here, a frequent guest at Bread and Roses, author Jenny Forrester, and also the founder of the Unchaste Reader series. She's been on this show several times before, but I had the pleasure of interviewing her also for our other KBOO show during the AM hours and public affairs time, during Between the Covers. You might have heard a version of that interview yesterday, and we're going to be playing parts of it as well. And before I go over to that portion from yesterday, I just want to thank everyone again for supporting us and supporting the Spring Membership Drive, the book, Jenny's memoir, Narrow River, White Sky, is still available. You can call at 877-500-5266. And here is that first part of the interview.
We always welcome new collective members, and if you're interested in joining us as a producer, host, or engineer, no experience necessary. Volunteer coordinator.
Jenny Forrester. Her memoir, Narrow River, Wide Sky, was recently published. It's a memoir. And I'm so pleased to welcome her back to KBOO Radio, where she's been a guest on several other shows here.
Thank you very much for having me here.
Jenny Forrester has been published in a number of print and online publications, including Seattle City Arts Magazine, Nailed Magazine, Hip Mama, The Literary Kitchen, Indiana Review, and Columbia Journal. Her work is included in the Listen to Your Mother anthology, published by Putnam. She curates the Unchaste Readers series, and I would also like to add that I feel like she's pretty much have every other verb in there, and all of them would be doing her no justice. has birthed the Unchaste Readers, has also midwifed, has taken the reader series through several years now of not only childhood, but just grown it into this big family.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That means everything.
Of course. And this is a very special occasion that I get to talk to her only about herself.
Uh-oh. That'll be really fun.
Yeah, because this is about you. This is about your book.
Oh, a lot of people, though, helped me become the author who could write this book, though. So really, it's not just me, but I did sit in that chair by myself. That's true.
And that's the point, right? Mm-hmm. It's about so many, not just hours, this is years.
Yes, 20 altogether.
Yes.
Yeah, so it wasn't that I was writing this exact book for 20 years. It's that I had to learn to be a writer. It's that I had to accumulate all of the stories. It's that I had to stitch things together. And then in the end, I had to become the person who could tell this story from an analyzed place and from an empowered place and from an empowering place, because there's a lot of content in here that's that could be presented in a really unkind, unanalyzed way.
And you say this, there's a line in the book, it actually made me think of this right now. There's a lot of heart and mind in this, and it brought me back to how your mother taught you caution, but you learned to put compassion and caution together.
Oh, nice. I like that. So that particular passage, yes, went through many iterations because, like, the first time I told it, I'm sure I wouldn't want you to read it. And because of the way that it happened and who we were and what the situation was then and et cetera. But I didn't want it. I couldn't let it sit on the page like that. And actually crafting that so that it was realistic to the period, to who we were, in the period of us, I mean. Then trying to figure out how to analyze that without stepping in too much to the story, into the scene, as, you know, Jenny from Portland, Oregon.
No, it seems a lot like you're still writing Jenny into this book as much as being Jenny.
Yes.
When you're writing it at the same time.
Right. So I learned a lot about the difference between the person, the writer, the author, and the narrator. That, for me, has been the most powerful writing tool that I could wield to write this.
And I think this is actually a perfect opportunity for us to hear a bit from the book and to hear your voice in this.
Okay. I'll just start from the beginning. And it starts out with book one, Children of a Narrow River, and chapter one, The Narrow River. My brother and I stood near the top of a sloping western Colorado cemetery among the ghosts of pioneers with their upright gravestones on one side and the more recent ghosts on the other, their earthen beds marked with the metal stakes of the impoverished, considering where we should bury our mother, taken from us suddenly. We were in our 20s and not ready, not that anyone ever is. Our sweet mother, her skin of rose cream and cold calloused hands, her warm soft heart, a cup of tea in a coffee place. Brian pointed toward Harge Gravel Mountain away from the coffee-colored hills above the Eagle River. We looked at it from her future perspective, and we didn't like the narrowness of it. She liked expanses, the wider view. She'd suffered narrowness long enough. He walked to another spot and said, "This is good. She can see New York Mountain from here." He turned his back, armored, facing away up over what most people would call mountains, being born children at high altitude. "I don't know if this is the place. I wanted more time to make the right decision, permanent as it was." The grave digger awaiting our decision for our mother's resting place moved from foot to foot, his strong arms across his wide chest, and said, "There's no room for anyone beside her." "She wasn't married," we said, too much at once. He grimaced in frustration at our ignorance about the burial of kin and said, but you two can never be buried with her. There's no space for you as a family. What if she's alone? I said as an unanswerable question. It's here, Jenny. This is where she has to be buried. Raised to be polite, our arguments were subtle, submerged, molten like the landscape, constant pressure yet inseparably bound. Brian had always cherished authority, and I'd come to question it. But convinced by Brian and their shared underlying belief in the act of certainty, the man said, I'll get the backhoe. I'd slept in Mom's bed the night before to be near her, to keep something of her, the scent of roses and tea and skin-softening night cream. Small things become everything when someone dies. I read her journals. Forgive me, I know, I did. She wrote this about Thanksgiving, her last one. At dinner, Jenny told me a story about a panther that lost her paw when she put it through a fence at a wildlife sanctuary. The owners thought the panther should have known better than to stick her paw in where the lions were feeding. Can't stop thinking about that poor panther. I've been so sad about it. I hope this is my last Thanksgiving. She'd raised us with a depth of optimism that used to annoy me, having been a sensitive child. Her words laid hard on that page. She wrote other things, too, that I hadn't known or imagined resided in her. I shared the faith Brian had in the landscape to provide solace and sanctuary, but I worried about the ghosts and demons she'd have to navigate on her own, because she'd been fighting them all her life. When would she have peace? How could I live without her, and how could I live with myself? I told my mother a sad story that made her wish for death on a page of her private thoughts.
I really did hear your voice when I read, I know.
Thanks.
Like, I read them, I know.
Yeah. That was a huge component, though, of the writing itself, trying to talk about her secrets without telling all her secrets, because I don't have a right to tell them all. And there were times in the writing there people would say, what were her secrets? And I just didn't feel right about it, but I wanted everybody to know I read them. I knew something more about what was going on in her inner life. And yes, when we write in journals, sometimes we write in hyperbole, for sure. Who doesn't? You know, woe is me is what journals are for. But she definitely had some things that were working on her and hurting her that I didn't know. And reading them was a gift from her that I'm pretty sure she didn't want to give me. She didn't want me to have it. But I'm really grateful to have that information, you know, from her side.
Do you ever think about what's going to happen after you pass and your daughter reads your journals?
So, yes, I think about it, and I think we're dead, so we don't have any stake in, you know, in all of these things anymore, and I think it is a gift. I mean, people can take what you write in a lot of different ways. My brother and I have access to some of these journals together, and our interpretations are, of course, very different, and our actions regarding them is different. And I'm going to write a lot more about that in the next book, but this one, I wanted, yeah. So yes, if my daughter reads my journals, I'm going to have to just deal with that. But I don't think about it. I don't think about her reading them, because if I do that, then I'm not writing my story. So.
And it just feels like when you set this up in the beginning mm-hmm. of the book, that I kept thinking as a reader about death, really, just sure. what death is. But I also thought that you think about it in sharp relief to what life is mm-hmm. and taking us mostly chronologically through the story of your life, it still felt like we're not seeing things just as they are. You did put that analysis of looking through this lens of time.
Sure. I did. And the trick of it for me was keeping the reader aware of what was happening in the moment and how I was seeing it, but without being too telling. I didn't want to tell. I wanted to show. I wanted it to be literary. And at first, you know, when I was becoming this writer, I wasn't aware of so many things with regard to how literature works. I'd read books, of course. I was a big reader as a young person. Thank goodness, right? But taking the events and analyzing them and turning them into a piece of art was itself just an extraordinary experience. Like, I'm really glad that I had, this is my MFA. You know, this project was, I think, what you get when you get an MFA. I don't know, but it feels very much like when I went to a Tin House and they had the language of the MFA, and I got to have that experience for a week with people who knew literature backwards and forwards and art backwards and forwards, and to have them put language and vocabulary to what I'd been doing, to what I'd already been doing, really helped.
I like that in that way you don't need to devalue MFAs to talk about yourself and your way of writing. I love that about it. Like, you're not, everyone has their process and this is how they became a writer.
Uh-huh. And their path. You know, we all have a different way to get there, and I think it takes a different amount of time, and I think it takes different lessons, and you know, I'm sure people have their strong opinions about what should happen, but this is what happened for me.
And this is also good to know, even before you get started. You did take us to the beginning, but you also had somewhat of a preface I'm going to read right now. Just starting in the beginning, before you even get started, let's say. So you start at the beginning, but this is before the beginning.
Right. Well, this is my CYA, too.
Yeah?
It's kind of, yeah. Go ahead and read it.
Memory is a tricky thing, but memoir is straightforward. I gathered memories to create a narrative arc that seeks to tell, and this is in capital, the truth. As the writer of this book, I took liberties with my memories and the timeline of events to create a narrative. Some names have been changed, but most haven't, and I will ask about that. Identities are the ones I've projected onto the various characters of my life story. If anyone recognizes themselves in this story, they would do well to remember that I'm using them in this way and that their lives are much bigger than any one story could contain. Mm. And so when I thought about this, I thought this was a warning, but it wasn't. I thought that you were still giving people respect yeah. and letting them know that you acknowledge that their life means more than what a chapter in a book could ever do justice to them.
Absolutely. No, you're right. I'm being, you know, a little flippant, a little snarky, but it started as a CYA. And then I had more to say. As usual, I start with one motivation, and then I get to a better place and a more expansive place. I have to write my way there. But yes, I definitely wanted my brother to know. So it's not that I just wanted him to know, that I think the world of him still. It's that I want other people to create in their minds, like the reader, I want them to have a relationship with all of these people in a real expansive way, because politically, there's some really awful things that people, you know, that are happening with all of the characters in this book. And I don't want some reader to look at Paul and vilify him. And because I just don't. I don't want someone to look at my brother and put everything that's wrong politically on him. He is part of it, as I am, as many other characters in the books, in the book. But we're just one person, and I wanted the reader to make sure they went in with that.
And I think it definitely comes through when you read through it. It's a different experience. I always feel like not only is every book different, every memoir is different. Everyone is going to have their different ways of constructing the stories of their lives. But I like to bring attention to how you've been making that transparent from the beginning by letting people know, no, look, I am not the wizard hiding this from you. Look, I'm taking down the curtain. These are characters. There's narratives. There's an arc. You're not, yes, they are people, but you're not calling them people. You did say characters. Right. And I think for the most part, when we're reading memoirs, we're reading characters. We're not reading the people.
How can we? I can only know so much. As I said, you can only know so much. I can know a person for 30 years and never completely know them. I mean, that's the beautiful and really hard thing about being a person in relationship with other people. You can't know them. But in literature, the idea is to interact with metaphor. And so you're not just a character, you're a metaphor. So hopefully I created that for every character as a metaphor.
This is a really good opportunity for us to take a break, since this is the membership drive. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about Jenny Forrester's first book, her memoir, Narrow River, Wide Sky.
Don't touch that dial. We're going to go back to that interview in just a moment. We just need to take a moment in order to get your call to support this community radio station. This is Spring Membership Drive, and today is News and Public Affairs Day. We have been listening to Jenny Forrester. She is the author of Narrow River, Wide Sky. This book can be your thank you gift for donating to KBOO this hour. If you can call and pledge $6.25 a month, you don't have to put a penny down right now. Just say, yes, I can do $6.25 a month. Set it up on your debit card, your credit card, your bank account, and that way you become a member of this radio station. You get this as a thank you gift. Narrow River, Wide Sky is described as a breathtaking, determinedly truthful story about one woman's search for identity within the mythology of family and America itself. It's a memoir, and it is a book that has been praised widely by well-known authors like Megan Cruz and Lydia Yuknovich. So do give a call, get this as your thank you, and support community radio, all in the bargain. 877-500-5266. I'm Jenka. I'm here with Natalie, and Nayona and Adam are behind us waiting for your phone call. They are patiently awaiting for you to call 877-500-5266. We have a limited number of copies of this book, Narrow River, Wide Sky, and we want you to get one of them if you call right now.
Yeah, things are getting into full swing over here at KBOO. We're just sitting here with our intrepid phone answerers, Niona and Adam. They're just whooping in the background, ready for your calls. But as we're talking about thank you gifts, there's also another thank you gift you can get for the minimum donation of $5 a month, that is $60, you can go see a folk punk band called Girlpool. And with a name like that, you know it's going to be a maelstrom, right? But I'm full of bad puns. Tune in for the puns. Stay for the membership drive. But yeah, they're going to be playing at May 25th at 9 o'clock in Mississippi Studios. So if you want to get on those tickets, you can support both KBOO and this awesome band all at the same time.
Yeah, so in addition to Girlpool, there's also Amy Mann, Rhiannon Giddens tickets, and that's in July at the Oregon Zoo. And it's really, the retail value is very close to the amount that we're asking, and you can do it as a monthly deduction. If you enjoy those Oregon Zoo concerts and you like, Amy Mann was on KBOO fairly recently, so maybe you heard her, a singer-songwriter, beautiful voice, and you can go and see that concert at the Oregon Zoo on July 16th, and that is a $75 pledge, $625 a month. You can do it either way. You could do all at once $75, or you could sign up and do a $625 a month deduction. Or you could just round it up, do $10 a month. Whatever works for you. We are flexible. We work with you. We just want you to be a supporter and to join this amazing community radio station. Be a part of it. Whether you can come in and volunteer, or you can do your monthly deduction, we're all in this together. This is a community effort, and we want you to be a part of it. 877-500-KBOO. You can also go online, kboo.fm. It's very easy to do on the website. You just click donate.
And KBOO is just great for the community in general, too, not only because we put out all of this wonderful content for you to listen to, but also because it is great in supporting. If you want to come here and volunteer, everything, you could just get thrown right in and do what you like, work the board ops, get on the radio. It's just great hands-on experience for anybody who's just interested in having underserved voices being heard. And it's great, too, because, you know, I majored in broadcasting back in college. I had student debt just up to my knees, whereas I just come here and just get free hands-on training. It's just a great experience, and you really learn a lot about your community and just start to appreciate everything that KBOO has to offer here. So if you want to keep that going and get that running along, then we really would appreciate any kind of support that you can give. $5 a month, or even a dollar a month, just anything will just help us out right now. That number is 877-500-5266. Or you could also donate online at kboo.fm/give.
Skip the mountains of debt and the years of journalism school. It's not worth it. Come on down and get free training at KBOO.
Yeah.
This is what we offer, and we're able to do it because we have so much community support. We have people coming in to volunteer to give trainings. We have a few staff here at KBOO, and we have a transmitter. This is where your money goes. You can come down and see where it goes. It's not going to some big palatial penthouse. No, we're just a humble operation right here next to the Jupiter Hotel. You can check us out, 20 Southeast 8th, 8th and Burnside. Maybe you're out and about and you want to come and see the station. We'll be here till 10 tonight. This station is going strong, and we are doing it because we have community support. Come on down, check us out, and maybe you want to make a commitment and do a $2,000 contribution and go and meet Amy Goodman in New York. We've had someone do that today. We still have that offer on the table that Amy Goodman has made. You go and have dinner with Amy Goodman and have a tour of the studio, sit in on a taping of the show. It's $2,000 for KBOO. It gets us that much closer to our goal, and it supports your station in a really, really fundamental way.
We always welcome new collective members, and if you're interested in joining us as a producer, host, or engineer, no experience necessary, please contact KBOO's volunteer coordinator, volunteer@kboo.org. You can connect with us on the KBOO website, kboo.fm/breadandroses. There you can access our podcasts and share feedback or show ideas. Like us on Facebook, KBOO Bread and Roses. And we are on Twitter at Bread Roses Radio.
And we're back. Thank you so much for supporting KBOO Radio during our spring membership drive. And with us today, we have been talking with Jenny Forrester about her memoir, Narrow River, Wide Sky. And some of the talk that we've had is talking about what it's like to adapt not only, I would say, your life, but it's almost this constellation of lives. Mm-hmm. And how did you make the decision to construct the way that you did this constellation?
The characters are the people who've been the most important to me, but I also needed to make the town a character, and so I had to bring in the characters of the town, and then I had to make the landscape its own character. So there were a lot of mountain ranges and different skies that go into creating the landscape character. And maybe there are multiple landscape characters, but that was my motive. That's what I wanted to do, is I wanted to create a story that is not just me, but is my whole human experience with other people and the landscape and the places I've lived. And I just wanted it to be really big. I wanted it to be this encompassing, beautiful thing, and I wanted it to be about Western America. And so that's a big thing, right?
No, it is.
Many states.
And I think you touched on the different parts of how you grew up in mainly Western Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
But there is this kind of American West that lives in the imagination. And it certainly lives for me, because I have a lot of romanticism around that. I'm from New York City. and all of the things that I absorbed in popular culture about cowboys, about just everything, you know, like all of these different aspects of what I picture to be these are the required characteristics of the American West.
Right.
And I had not really taken in either enough books or enough other kinds of stories where people are highlighting, you know, really real things that happen when you grow up in a town of 800 people.
Right. I wanted to show the mythology that is what you're talking about from New York City, and the people who live there also have this mythology, and we created it and recreated it as we went along. But it was definitely important that we were pioneers, we saw ourselves as pioneers, that was just a string that kind of created the whole fabric, you know, back and forth, weaving back and forth, and just creating all of that energy around that. And yet, you know, when you look at my life starting in Minturn back in the 60s, the mining towns that I wanted to talk about gentrification without using that word.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens in rural areas, and we don't talk about that. We talk about gentrification in the urban areas. We don't talk about the gentrification of rural areas. And so I wanted to show that, because it unravels that mythology really nicely.
You're listening to Jenny Forrester on Bread and Roses. This is KBOO's feminist radio show every Friday, and we're asking for your support. Can you give $5 a month? Can you give $10 a month? Think about what you can budget for Feminist Community Radio. 877-500-KBOO. My name is Jenka. I'm here with Natalie on this News and Public Affairs Day.
Woo! Yeah, I just thought of something that you could budget in your life. I mean, I know that there's a way to buck your expensive coffee addiction. Maybe for three or four fewer coffees a month, you can use that $5 a month and support radio. So while you're drinking your coffee that you've narrowed your amount of, you could still be listening to KBOO. And
wait, like, you get three or four coffees for $5? Where are you getting coffee? Nowadays, it's like $5 for a single coffee.
Yeah, I know.
It's kind of really ridiculous. But if you're gonna give up four coffees a month, then pledge $20 to KBOO.
Yeah, that's even better.
You know, pledge $20 to KBOO
really
a month.
Be saving your pocket.
And, you know, saving yourself from destruction with a little bit less coffee. And get yourself some tickets. With $20 a month, you can actually get tickets to see Stop Fascism, Chris Hedges, and Joe Sacco next weekend, May 26th, 27th. You choose whether it's Friday or Saturday. And then your membership to KBOO keeps on giving back to you month after month, year after year. This is the station that supports you with intellectual stimulation, with real stories of real people. You're listening to Jenny Forrester right now, and we do have her book that she's talking about as a thank you gift. So you could do that for $6.25 a month, or, you know, increase it $20 a month. Just say, yeah, I could do $20 a month, and I want that Narrow River Wide Sky book on the Colorado Plateau and her life as a pioneer, as she described it, and then how her experience was reflective about the mythology of family and America and the increasingly strained relationship between her and her brother as a microcosm of America's political landscape. That book can be yours for $6.25 a month. The number to call, 877-500-5266, to support this show and to support this station. Again, 877-500-5266.
So this is Pamela Santos, and I'm also here just to tell you a little bit more about this great interview. You'll be able to get an extended version of the interview. We got to talk a lot about not just what she faced in that early time, but definitely what it's like to go through an abusive relationship, what it's like to try to save yourself, and a lot of all those different chapters of that memoir. It was... honestly, it was an experience to be able to see what it's like to gain your power. And a lot of what we cover and the kind of stories that we cover on Bread and Roses is about gaining your power. What does that mean? You know, autonomy, independence, knowing your own voice. And whether it's with women or gender nonconforming folks, we are committed to putting those stories up front, centering it especially on intersectional stories. There are some stories that you cannot tell unless it's intersectional, unless you are looking at class and race and background. I mean, throughout this book, it's really hard to think about how the other side lives. So definitely check it out and call 877-500-5266. I also think that as we were looking, you really couldn't just like turn your eyes away from gender differences. Your mother sounded like the most intelligent, worldly woman from these pages.
Mm-hmm. And she was. She definitely was. And when I was a teenager, I thought, why does she live here? Why? But she never left. She wanted to ski. She wanted that Colorado ski bum dream. Even in her 50s, when she went back, she prided herself on being able to... She lived closer to the Vail Mountain, where she originally went. And... She wanted that, so she put up with a lot of the difficulties around living in a rural place without the metropolitan advantages of arts and museums, which she loved. Obviously, she was well read and intelligent. And without too many spoilers, and then later she was able to travel a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It was. Not much.
She seemed to me like the girl sidekick in movies that somebody had to do something. And yet she was at the heart of the action. So she would be at, and this is really still hard for me to say this sentence, archaeological digs.
Yes, I know.
Because I grew up loving Indiana Jones movies, even the young Indiana Jones TV show, and looking at this and thinking to myself, well, I'm in the modern era. Too bad I'm in the modern era and I missed out on archaeological digs and I don't get to be Indiana.
Yeah, they do a lot of satellite imaging now. So they know where things are, and it's kind of transformed the technology and the destruction of sites that are obviously sacred. But I don't know about the practices, and I still don't know how much of the I don't know all the words, but the racism that that science, anthropology, archaeology, really showed itself to be when I was at those dig sites. I was very little, but I picked up on it.
You picked up on a lot.
For sure.
And a lot of it was what your mother, or the adults, I would say, in your life wanted to tell you, but also what they were showing you. Because your mother seemed to want to show you how to be a good person.
Yeah.
And the thing is, living life, you're harder on yourself. Like, if you take the lesson of just being a good person, but how can you be good when you're not supposed to sin?
Right. Yeah, there are a lot of requirements.
Yes.
To be good.
It's a whole book. It's the good book.
Yeah. Yeah, we had two books. We had a variety of patriarchal requirements, like lists. We had like three different lists that showed us how it was to be good and a good woman. So there was, you know, probably more lists for that. But I think my mom definitely was always wanting to be as aware as possible and to be good as possible. But she was also very human. And in reading her journals and in the private conversations that we had of, you know, when we started telling each other secrets, she was a much more complete person. And that, I think, was really hard for her, because we're supposed to be good, not complete. We're supposed to be good according to this. This is what we want to be. It's patriarchy. Patriarchy telling us exactly what we should be. And I wanted to show that and talk about feminism without using the word feminism often, or in a way that, I just saw this, The Onion put out this video, it's brilliant, about, and I'm getting back to it, but it's about a guy from a small steel town in Pennsylvania. He's talking about, he's sorry he voted for number 45, but since then he's read queer feminist theory, and now he knows better. And so it's brilliant. If you haven't seen it, it's so both sides can say, you know, the number 45 side can say, well, see how silly you all sound. And then the side where I stand can say, see, all you all needed was some information. And it's brilliant because both sides can do that, and you can also see how we're not communicating something important. We're not able to communicate. We're using different expectations. I wanted to write this book so that without using those words, but showing a different perspective.
I think people need to be able to read the situations. I think a lot of what can be hard, perhaps, in really understanding human nature is if you can't read a situation, if you can't read things as they're happening. And when you're talking about showing, you are showing things in the way that when your brother says something about senators and women's rights, folks, and watching the TV.
Right.
And, oh my gosh, the fragile problems.
Yes.
And angry women.
Yes, yes. And it hasn't changed. It hasn't timed itself out. You know, the time it took to live it and the time it took to write it, these things are still applicable, and they're even more... So the people I write with, as I wrote, would think this is archaic. This is not how it is anymore. And it, because we had this lull in urban life, I guess, or maybe it's just, you know, the people I was, you know, the West Coast urban life that I've been living has been really different than the life I lived in Western Colorado, in small town Western Colorado. And so to have that small town come onto the national stage in such a way, this hasn't gone out of style. It hasn't gone out of vogue.
No.
It hasn't gone, it's not unimportant because it's aged.
I'm so glad that we got through this interview with no tears
I know,
between
me
us.
Too. Neither of us cried. There were a couple little pools, but we got through it.
No, I mean when people read the book, they're going to be reading lots of crying Jenny. But here we didn't have crying Jenny.
No, but tomorrow when I do the book launch, I'm definitely gonna cry.
Such a pleasure. I am wishing you the best.
Thank you.
And yeah, there's a lot of love here.
Thank you. Same to you.
Okay. Bye. So you've been listening to Bread and Roses on KBOO Portland. This is Pamela Santos. Again, that was such a pleasure, not only just to experience reading the book, but obviously just being able to talk to author Jenny Forrester, frequent guest on Bread and Roses. Thank you for listening. And we're still back in our spring membership drive, and I'm still here with Jenka and Natalie.
Yes, and we're asking for your support. We've got just 7 minutes left in this hour, and we have 3 copies left of this book. If you are able to pledge $6.25 a month, then you can get Narrow River, Wide Sky by Jenny Forrester, this memoir that you've been hearing about. And I would encourage you to give at that level if you're able to do it. And if you can give a little more, say $20 a month, then we can offer you tickets to see Chris Hedges and Joe Sacco live in Portland next weekend at the Aladdin Theater. And that way you give to your community radio station and you support this station month after month in a sustainable way. I know you're probably into sustainability. This is a sustainable way to keep giving to your community radio station. But we do just have 3 copies of Narrow River, Wide Sky by Jenny Forrester, which you've just heard about. And as Pamela was saying, it shows about bringing back and regaining your strength and your power, and how this author managed to do that. And it tells her personal story and her struggle with that growing up in the Colorado Plateau. Again, the number to call, 877-500-5266. Help us reach our goal for this hour. The number, 877-500-KBOO, 877-500-KBOO.
And yeah, KBOO, you know, started almost 50 years ago, and it is still running strong. I mean, we started humble beginnings, operated from a basement, and now we have a nice little cozy area over here by Burnside and 8th. But that was just made possible by all of the supporters and all of the listeners like you who have really kept the station going, and just the community here is just so, like, encouraging. And just to see that, just to get that kind of support from you and all the good vibrations coming our way. And we want to give those good vibrations back to you, you know, kind of have an infinite loop of goodness just surrounding us all. But yeah, we really do stress the importance of community here. And KBOO's always been a platform for all who want their voices heard and all who want to give back to the community. And but Pamela has a special thank you for you all.
So this is such a pleasure. I am the executive producer of Bread and Roses, and so with that, I take very seriously the legacy that I have been bestowed, I would like to say. One of my first appearances on the radio was actually on Bread and Roses. The other one was APA Compass. And it means something that this was started by women. And one of the callers, we wanted to send a special thank you to Susan, who had started Bread and Roses in 1975. My heart is so full knowing that you wanted to support KBOO during spring membership drive. And please, everyone else, you can still call 877-500-5266. It really means a lot when you let us know that these kinds of stories matter. It's not only about just talking about women's stories. This is about fighting all kinds of systems of oppression. Whether we're talking about class, we've definitely covered a lot of disability activism thanks to one of our other producers and hosts, Cheryl Green. That number again is 877-500-5266. You can also go online to donate, kboo.fm, click on donate. It's really important right now. We're still past halfway through our spring membership drive, and there's still a lot that you can do. Did you think that if you've already pledged before, but you still, you know, have a little bit extra that you can put in and actually make a second pledge, make a third pledge, you can actually give a gift membership as well. Call 877-500-5266. We are just about, I would say, 10 years younger. The Bread and Roses Collective is 10 years younger than KBOO's anniversary. So as KBOO heads over to its 50th anniversary, Bread and Roses will be celebrating just about its 40th. And so it really matters to keep this kind of programming front and center and on the airwaves, on your apps, online. 877-500-5266.
And we've just got a couple of minutes left, and we want a couple more people to call to help us reach our goal. We've got about $500 more. We can do that with just a couple people maybe pledging that $20 a month. Budget that in. I want to hear, you know, from some feminists. I want to hear some, is there a feminist male listening that's saying, yeah, I support feminist radio, and I want to do that with my pocketbook every single month. I could do $20 a month for this station. Show that you support this. Show that you are for the empowerment of women and the fact that we've had almost 40 years of feminist women produced radio on the airwaves consistently. No other station can claim that. KBOO is unique, and we are a resource that you appreciate and you can support right now. Please call 877-500-5266 in the next couple of minutes to support Bread and Roses. Get yourself this book. We've only got a couple copies left. We want you to be a supporter of Bread and Roses. Please do it right now. 877-500-5266. support this station that supports you every single day with this type of intellectual stimulation and this type of connection to your community. Call right now, 877-500-KABU.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is just about 7 o'clock. Coming up next, we have a special conversation for News and Public Affairs Day. KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Satchmo at the Waldorf, produced by Triangle Productions. The play runs from May 4th through the 27th at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza in Portland. Backstage at the Empire Room of the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in 1971, Louis Armstrong, the greatest trumpet player in the world, sits in his dressing room trying to pull himself together following a performance. His mind wanders through the amazing and complex journey of his life. Again, Satchmo at the Waldorf, May 4th through 27th at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza, 1785 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Thank you for joining us this May, our special spring membership drive. We have a very important roundtable here. I'm Zelle Zelis-Marchant. I have in the studio James Dixon and Cameron Witten joining us to talk about the lack of equity in the arts for POCs. Welcome